Welcome to Tax Breaks, a podcast by the Federation of Tax Administrators, where we delve into current subjects and their relevance to the realm of tax administration. Each episode of our podcast features conversations with esteemed professionals from government, academia, and the private sector. Our guests generously share their wealth of knowledge and unique perspectives, providing invaluable insights and expertise to our listeners. I'm Ryan Minnick, FTA's Chief Operating Officer, and this episode I'm joined by Marina Salas of the Missouri Department of Revenue and Lauren Smith of the South Carolina Department of Revenue, and we talk about the intersection of kindness, employee engagement, and its impact on tax administration. You won't want to miss this conversation. It's particularly special for the FTA team because we have a culture of kindness that extends from not only our internal team engagement, but also with our engagement with members, and then subsequently with members' engagement with taxpayers all over the United States. So without further ado, here's kindness and employee engagement with Marina Salas and Lauren Smith. I'm really excited for this episode of Tax Breaks. We talk about so many things on the podcast, from artificial intelligence to customer experience to innovations and things taking place in the private sector that are going to make their way into the public sector. This is the first time I've gotten to talk about kindness. And kindness, something is super important to the FTA team. We have a culture of kindness at our organization. Both of our guests this episode are familiar because they've attended our conferences, they've participated in our programs. And since we just wrapped up, at least when we're recording this, we just wrapped up World Kindness Month, so the month of November. And both of our guests have such great employee engagement and what we've kind of dubbed kindness programs going on that we want to just kind of dig a little deeper. So I've got Marina Salas from the Missouri Department of Revenue and Lauren Smith from the South Carolina Department of Revenue, and super excited to have you both here today. Welcome.
Thank you. We're excited to be here.
Yes, I'm very excited to be here and talk about kindness. It's always, we need more of it in this world, so it's nice to actually have a chance to talk about it with you.
Absolutely. Well, it's one of the few free things that we can do every day, right? So, you know, Lauren, your agency was just recognized, I think, for the second time by your statewide organizations run by your retirement fund, I believe.
Yes. So PIA administers our retirement and health insurance. And so we were awarded both the 2023 and the 2024 PIBA Partners Award in two separate categories. So in 2023, we were the overall winners. And so we were chosen among 824, I believe, public employers in the state of South Carolina. And then this past year, we won in the state agency category. So very proud of that. And they recognize us for similar things both times, but also we've continued to grow our offerings in the space of employee engagement and wellness. So they're continuing to see that progress. And so that's why we received the award again. And then in addition to that, we actually won a Live Life Blue Award, which is a similar award. And this was in 2024. And this was from Blue Cross Blue Shield, which is a very large insurance organization, as I'm sure you know. So very proud about that as well.
Awesome. Well, and before we get into that, so just for our listeners, share a little bit, Lauren, about, you know, your role in South Carolina, kind of, you know, where you, how you ended up in this crazy world we call tax administration and government service. And then I'll ask the same thing of Marina.
Sure. So Marina and I were actually just chatting about this prior to recording. So I have been with SCDOR for about 2 years now, and I'm in communications, specifically in internal communications. So my job is really to focus a lot on how our employees are doing, how we're communicating with them, and engaging them so that they can do their best at work. So that is my current role. Previously, I worked in higher education. I was at the University of South Carolina, where I did an array of things. But my previous role immediately prior to coming to SCDUR was the Director of International Student Services, where I was also doing a lot of communication. So that's kind of how I made that jump. But it was just different communication there.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Well, Marina, I know I just saw you on stage not too long ago talking about, your engagement programs in Missouri. But let's start with what your role is with the Department of Revenue and you know, how long you've been there and how you ended up in tax administration.
Okay. So December 18th will mark my 24-year anniversary with the state of Missouri. So happy to be here, love what I do, and, you know, love who I do it with. So I'm in the Field Compliance Bureau department. And so what's unique about Missouri, we have field offices. So although I work for the state of Missouri, I actually live and work in our Chicago branch office. So I'm the administrative manager in the audit services team. And also selected by leadership, I represent the Department of Revenue as their appreciation ambassador. So it's been just so fulfilling and rewarding to honor our teammates who are doing wonderful things across the state of Missouri. So really blessed to be a part of the state, the show me state.
24 years. I bet you they've flown by. It sounds like, you know, I blinked and it was 9 years at FTA for me. So I can only imagine I'll blink again before I know it. I'll be right where you are. And, I did not realize you were in the Chicago field office, because that Chicago is near and dear to my heart. So,
oh, glad to hear that.
I try to stop in as often as I can. In fact, our annual meeting is going to be in Chicago next June, so we'll have to get you talking about employee engagement there. Going back to something that you had said, Lauren, you know, our backgrounds aren't too dissimilar. So I actually my background's a dual background in technology and advertising. It's my secret route into government, which I find is not the same for anybody. And I originally came in in a technical role to explain complex technical things to non-technical stakeholders. But I would be curious to kind of get your perspective coming in, you know, coming from higher education, such a highly engaged, it's branded as high engagement, right? It's a constant stream of recruitment. It's a constant stream of growth and networking and bringing alumni back in, and especially when you were working on international programs, bringing in relationships with other stakeholders. So, you know, you were able to bring that into a Department of Revenue, which is selfishly fantastic. I wish every Department of Revenue could reach as many people as higher education does. What were some of your early observations coming in as you were getting into your role? Some of the kind of the secret sauce that led to these kind of this award-winning recognition that you all have seen.
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's funny you say that about this kind of bridge between higher ed and communications, because several people within our team in the communications team at the Department of Revenue, we all come from higher ed. And so we do bring this unique perspective of having a different, I guess you could say different perspective on engagement. So I think what really struck me when I first started was engaging our employees at the Department of Revenue is very different. And of course, that's my main role, is really thinking about our employees and how we engage our employees. Because in higher ed, the stakeholders are much more diverse. In terms of, you have faculty, you have staff, you have students, you have all of this array of people you're trying to reach that have very different needs. And of course, at the Department of Revenue, we have our taxpayers, we have our stakeholders in the government, and so on and so forth. But with our employees, they tend to have, they have diverse needs, but it's a much more unified population, which I really appreciated. And I've found it helpful for communicating and for engaging them. Because even though, of course, you have your technology, you have your, you know, your call center, you have all of the different types of jobs, at the end of the day, we're all serving our taxpayers. And that really helps know how to engage our employees when you all have this very similar goal.
I like it. It's I think you've hit on something that I've noticed a long time in tax administration, is that everyone is very heads down in your vertical, in your space, getting it done. You know, I think tax administrators are some of the most dedicated public servants on the planet, and everyone's very mission aligned and wants to move forward, which can make it hard for what I kind of often call some of the squishy stuff, the relationship building and the kindness exercises and the you know, something that I probably talked about this on an episode before. I am notorious. I'm a big checklist person. Once something's done, I'm ready to move on to the next thing. And very early on, our executive director, Sharon, has been with us for 3 years. And when she and I were first working together, and of course, before that, she ran the Maryland Comptroller Office as the Deputy Comptroller for Taxation. And I've known her for a very, very long time. But the first couple weeks we were working together in our roles at FTA, I was doing my checklist thing, rolling down the checklist. And she stopped me and said, Ryan, she's like, let's stop and like celebrate. That was a big thing that just got checked off. And it was, I think about it all the time. It's such a good reminder because we all have that inclination. We all want to keep moving forward. And sometimes stopping to celebrate's a little, you know, it can be a little fun. And Marina, I think that kind of gets into your role as an ambassador to your organization, because you've probably encountered that situation many, many times over 24 years of people who are like, engagement. I don't need engagement. I've got a job to do. So what are some of your thoughts on this?
So, you know, coming from the audit services sector, I've always dealt, you know, we called our taxpayers customers. I've always had that, you know, customer-centric relationship. And so when I heard the inception of the, you know, ambassador initiative, I was really excited to be a part of that. So I actually applied for the ambassador role. And, you know, our teammates across all departments, they're doing great things. And the purpose is to develop and implement ways to recognize their accomplishments. And from being from Chicago, I just felt compelled to ensure that voices from all regions are heard and valued. So this is a topic that I've really grown passionate about. And as a DOR ambassador, my main objective was to link events specifically to a purpose. So, you know, with doing so, that our events always has to be centered around showing appreciation for something or someone. So our focus is teaching our people to appreciate and understand that appreciation, it's a feeling, it's a sentiment that can be shared with little or no expense. So our events are geared towards setting examples and demonstrating how easy it is to express those acts of kindness. And not just, you know, during Employee Appreciation Month, but as you stated, you know, World Kindness Month, every day, if we possibly can, to display those acts of appreciation throughout the year, and to say, you know, thank you, and meaningful acts of appreciation and sentiment. So I'm super excited being in this role. We are in year two of this governor, you know, sponsored initiative, and we're really going strong. I have an amazing internal team, and together, we continue to plan these engaging events to promote and foster that culture of recognition across the state. So it's really been a wonderful opportunity.
Awesome. Are you seeing that as a result of these events and this engagement, that more folks, you know, whether it's, you know, Teams chat or email or whatever your normal communication methods are you noticing more kind of shout outs and recognition being given within the agency as kind of a downstream effect of this?
1,000%. Our sole purpose is to improve that morale, right, and motivate the employees of the Department of Revenue to create that positive work environment and, you know, attract their talent, reduce attrition. And I'm seeing that through our organizational health surveys, you know, positive feedback. I'm keeping track of these engagements that we're doing on a monthly basis, and more people are participating, you know, and spreading, you know, those, you know, whether it be by email or, you know, video celebrations, just making it in simply your stand-up meetings, you know, saying, hey, thank you for your help on that project. So we are definitely seeing a positive impact. You know, as an ambassador, I've had the opportunity to meet people throughout all, you know, our different offices. And it's sending me emails like, thank you for hosting this event, because it was just, you know, a great opportunity for a distraction during the day, you know. So our people see value, you know, in state government, and we want to reward them, you know, and recognize the day-to-day efforts that they, you know, that they put. And so we are, you know, the ambassador program is helping to advance our purpose and our goals.
That's awesome. Well, and I guess talking about engagement, and Lauren, I'll ask you this. What we've noticed and what we you know, in terms of content at our conferences and how we reach all of our members, which are all the employees of your agencies and all the other revenue agencies around the country, is that we spend a lot of time focusing on meeting people where they are. So generational differences, different ways, communication methods, communication styles. You know, for example, I mean, even something as simple as this podcast, we do a video version and we do an audio version. Our website, our community, people can engage over email or they can log in like LinkedIn and browse the information. So really making sure that we create every channel possible to engage everybody how they want to engage versus telling them exactly how they do. So, you know, what are some examples of how you all have kind of, instead of having a one size fits most approach, like really looked at meeting people where they are to kind of boost that engagement?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think going back to what Marina said, it doesn't have to be big, right? The small things can really make the difference. So we have several ways to just increase kindness, increase engagement. One way I want to mention is a virtual way, and that's a virtual water cooler is what we call it. So this is on our internal intranet, and it's a space for employees to just post whatever they want to post. Now, it is moderated by communications, and there's a set of guidelines for, you know, what's appropriate to post, but we never have issues with that, of course, and people will post on there. So right now we have what's your top Spotify song thing going, and so people will just post their top Spotify song, and one time we had, you know, what's better, Harry Potter or Star Wars, and these things are they're organic. People will just start these conversations, or it can be something like, hey, my kid's selling candy, and for a fundraiser, stop by on your break to buy some candy. So it can really be anything. It's what it sounds like, a virtual water cooler. And the people love that. Just being able to interact with their fellow employees, whether they're at the Columbia office or they're at one of our district offices. It's really been a fun way to engage our employees. And some other ways we meet people where they are. We actually have options for giving kudos to other employees. So that can, we have these actually branded thank you cards where you can just write a thank you note and pop it on someone's desk. And that actually makes a big difference. People really love getting a handwritten thank you card. We also have something called a recognition closet where you can go grab like a little branded cooler or a branded coffee mug or whatever it may be. And you can recognize someone for something they've done. And so those little things really make a difference in people's engagement and in feeling appreciated. And when people feel appreciated and like they have value at work, they look forward to coming every day.
Yep. And I like both of your points is that it doesn't have to be big and it doesn't have to take a lot of time for someone to feel recognized, feel seen, feel appreciated. We practice the same thing. We have a team distributed all over the country in order to serve all of our members, all of you. And so as a result, we rely a lot on both our time together when we host conferences and when we have reasons to be together physically. But then we also, you know, have times where we rely on, you know, tools in order to keep us connected when we're really far apart. And, you know, one of those tools is you know, a quick system, very similar to what you're describing, Lauren, in a water cooler. It's a quick system. It emails us, you know, every Monday and every Friday. And on Monday, it's, hey, what are you up to this week? Not as a metric for productivity or, you know, supervision. It's literally just to give each other awareness of what we've got going on. So one of mine today was, you know, recording a podcast on kindness. And then every Friday, it pulls a random question from this giant database of something fun. It could be, you know, what's your favorite movie you've seen in the last 6 months? Or, you know, what's a meal that makes you nostalgic for your childhood? Or how do you like your eggs? Plot twist, I learned that several of my team members don't care for eggs, which I thought was really interesting to learn. So you get that serious at the beginning of the week for awareness to make you feel connected, but then you get something a little bit fun on Friday. And part of that is just the same idea. You just share a little bit. I talk a lot. So I, you know, obviously hosting a podcast, I probably share way more than my team members need to know about me. But, you know, if I'm excited about something happening, I like to share it. And if others like it or are excited, it's something really fun too. But, you know, I think that providing those mechanisms we're seeing so many downstream effects, right? The more people feel valued and supported, the more they then contribute or feel like they want to help other people. And so, you know, Marina, at some point we should compare metrics, because I would be willing to bet that as you've seen satisfaction scores increase in call center and, you know, productivity go up and people, you know, overall sentiment being higher, I'd be willing to bet that we've probably seen more people from Missouri engaging on our FTA platforms and sharing with other states and wanting to be helpful to their peers across state lines. So I think that'd be really cool to see.
Right. You know, because we talk about appreciation and it's so vital to an organization and it could truly affect your work culture. And I always say a happy environment is a productive environment. So, you know, the ambassador program, we've hosted numerous events with the hopes of making that positive impact. And some of our appreciation event examples are, and I talked about that at Masada's, we have numerous planned appreciation blasts. And what that is, you know, it truly does all begin with a simple thank you, right? And so our planned appreciation events is we wanted our people to think outside the box and record a WebEx video. And not just saying thank you, but, you know, thank you for and what type, you know, what are they thanking them for? You know, we've hosted virtual events highlighting our core value attributes. So celebrating what we really, you know, what we want to see are years of experience. So we had an event that for each set of years, and we did 5-year increments to wear your color that best represents, you know, your years. Our people wore their colors with pride, you know, and so we took pictures and we had that on our various newsletters that we have. We have wellness activities, letting our people know that we care about their well-being and their care, you know, so we promote getting together and going for a wellness walk, getting to know each other, talk about, you know, our beautiful surroundings, what we love about working for the department. And we have some competitive teammates at the Missouri Department of Revenue, so we have an abundance of fun team building events like our cornhole tournament. We have one that I really enjoyed is our Two Truths and a Lie. And what was really great about that is we had leadership, you know, about 20 members of our leadership team give facts about that. So this was a way to connect with our leaders and know, you know, a little bit more about them that we won't normally know any other way about them. We also have community outreach events, right? So serving our citizens, which helps us connect, you know, to the communities where we serve, you know. And last month we had our community pet appreciation event. So we adopted a shelter that you donated needed items. And in addition to, we had our team send, you know, photos of their beautiful pets that we highlighted. You know, we had our veterans initiative where our people wrote over 750 letters to our seven Missouri veterans homes. So these are the types of events that we're doing together as a team, building that culture, you know, and it's, you know, so fulfilling to see how engaging our teams are. You saw us at Masada. Everyone came out with a smile on their face, you know, and it's just the genuine sentiment. We care about the people, not just our external customers, but also our internal teams. So very, you know, proud to be part of this agency, you know, with our director who talks about the people's person and our legislative director, you know, that's all about engagement and getting to know one another. It's been great.
Well, and I love that you talk about two kind of really important, you know, feedback loops, which is that, you know, not only getting to know leadership and building awareness, but all of these things. I think a lot of times criticism of employee engagement, even in the private sector, public sector, wherever you are, people who are naysayers, they're like, oh, it's just a waste of time. But when you look at productivity metrics and you look at the actual engagement and you look at, you know, even employee satisfaction surveys, that critical question, how well do you feel you know your leadership? You know, those types of things that actually lead to really important variables like employee retention, which everyone in government is struggling with because the average tenure of employees in the public and private sector is going down because people change jobs more frequently. So as you're looking for reasons to retain talented people, sometimes it's that connection they feel to the workplace that can really make a difference as to whether or not they choose to stay or to go. But there's one element that I wanted to ask Lauren about, because you mentioned wellness walks. And Lauren, I know one of your awards was from Blue Cross Blue Shield. I suspect because they recognize the inherent connection between employee engagement and wellness and health benefits. So I just wondered if you would talk a little bit about that, because it's not something you see very often.
Absolutely. So one thing about our Department of Revenue is how focused we are on wellness. We want our employees to bring their best selves to work. And that means mental wellness, that means physical wellness, financial wellness. So we offer all sorts of opportunities to be engaged and to learn and to improve your wellness. And that is one thing that Blue Cross Blue Shield saw is our wellness committee. We actually have a wellness committee of almost 40 people who plan events all year long or plan initiatives such as we have walking challenges twice a year. We have a whole wellness week every spring. We have things like strawberry sales, and we have mental health lunch and learns. We have things like this because we want our employees to know that their organization cares about them and wants them to have their best life outside of work so that they can bring their best selves to work. So we were, you know, very excited that we are recognized by Blue Cross Blue Shield, and they recognized us as an employer who goes above and beyond to support a healthy workplace. And in addition to the things I already mentioned, they also called out the fact that we have decompression pods for call center staff so they can kind of decompress after a tough call, that we have state-of-the-art lactation rooms, that we have a tuition reimbursement program, we have on-site health screenings and blood drives and mammograms, and we really try to communicate with employees about this. We want them to take advantage of these things. So we're telling them, we're offering them ways to sign up. We offer flexible schedules so they're able to do all these things. So it's really just an overall culture of wellness that I think makes SCDR such a great place to work.
Well, that's awesome. Well, I'm hoping some of our listeners at this point are like, wow, I should look at departments of revenue as a career opportunity, because I think a lot of times the things that both you and Marina are describing, people associate with the private sector, right? They associate it with tech companies or with startups or, you know, people who wear t-shirts and skateboard to work, or I don't know, whatever stereotype I'm describing here. But at the end of the day, I mean, these are, to the listeners, these are innovative things that are being done, yes, in Missouri and in South Carolina, but this is exemplary of what's taking place around the country. I mean, public workplaces are about the public good and about serving, in our case, the taxpayer or the constituent, and making sure that, you know, things, you know, happen the way they're supposed to happen, and that, you know, policies are carried out and things are done fairly, and that revenue is collected that funds critical services. But in order to do that, you have to have a workforce that you can recruit, retain, that is happy and satisfied with its work, that is able to handle a tough phone call when one comes in, because they know that, you know what, in the heat of the moment, people say things that they're not particularly proud of. And sometimes you gotta, you know, you roll with it and you help them as best you can. And then to still be able to step away from that and go to Marina, one of your, you know, your engagement events, and to recognize and say, you know what, I'm part of this large team that is the Department of Revenue, and it's going to be okay. Sometimes there's going to be tough calls. Sometimes there's going to be, you know, fun. I'm still hung up on the dog adoption thing. I think that's so fantastic. I spent 10 years volunteering with the DC Humane Society when I lived in the district, and all of my dogs in my life have been rescues. And so the notion of the whole agency coming together, my first thought was like, next year I want to send pictures of my dogs. I don't even work for Missouri and I want to share.
You know, absolutely. And, you know, we want our people, you know, and I'm hearing that, Lauren, from your state agency as well, is to enjoy coming to work every day and feel that they're valued part of the team, no matter what position they serve, right? So we want to create a work environment that entices our people to stay and develop their careers within the state of Missouri. And that's with engagement, with personal relationships, you know, letting them know that we care about them, you know, and this is why we've planned, you know, a series of regular events with purpose and objectives, right? And these aren't party planning events, you know, nor are they any self-serving events, but rather kind of structured opportunities to let our people know that we recognize and we appreciate them, and gratitude is personal and it goes much further than a free lunch. I mean, don't get me wrong, and I presented a Masada and I said, I love a pizza party, but the pizza party that I had yesterday will be forgotten tomorrow. It's those meaningful relationships, you know, the collaboration together is what is going to be remembered and long lasting. And that's, you know, our main purpose is building these relationships and these bonds within our teams, you know, and just kind of advancing our purpose and our goals.
I love it. So I guess a question for both of you, and I think we've reached a point now in our conversation where people are listening, and if they work for a revenue agency, they're probably asking themselves the question of, you know, are we doing things as well as South Carolina, Missouri, or are there things we could be doing differently? So what I'm going to ask each of you is for kind of your top two or three pieces of advice. If somebody were looking to replicate your success, what are a couple things that you would recommend to them to get them started? And Lauren, I'll start with you, and then I'll go to Marina.
Sure. So I think first and foremost, engage your leadership. So we're very lucky at SCDR to have amazing leadership who really care about making sure their employees are satisfied and engaged. And so it starts from the top. So working with them to identify how you can best engage and support your employees. So at SCDR, we do that in many ways, but from leadership, they do an annual engagement survey every year to make sure, you know, to see where we are, to see where our employees are, how they're doing, what they could be doing better. So I think that's really my first piece of advice is really work with your leadership to make these changes, not just whack-a-mole, but sort of long-lasting and large-scale changes. Secondly, I think I would just go back to saying it doesn't have to be big. It really doesn't. Some of these things, they don't take a great deal of money. They don't take time. They just take a group of people saying, hey, we want to make this a better place to work. So it just takes people getting together and thinking creatively to engage your employees. So that's what I would say. Those are my two big pieces of advice.
Thanks, Lauren. Marina?
So I think first and foremost, knowing what your strategic intent is, you know, and having that, knowing what the purpose is, you know, over at Revenue, it was very important that, you know, we build our strategic intent, you know, and so we designed our, you know, appreciation capability model. And that was the roadmap that we used to implement the governor's mission for developing a culture of appreciation within the state. And by doing that and building that model, we knew that what we strive to achieve, right, and then what we needed, the people, the activities, the tools that we were going to use to advance the objectives, and then followed by how we were going to demonstrate, you know, our productivity and how we were advancing with our accomplishments. And so, my amazing, I rave about them all the time, our internal team, we sat down, pen and paper, what is our strategic intent and what, you know, what do we want to focus on? And then our guiding principles, right? So we built, you know, super simple. The very first thing is we sat down and defined what appreciation in this context was, and we set ground rules for what we were and we weren't, you know, going to build a culture of appreciation. And so we knew what our team's mission was, and that was to seed our people with examples of how to appreciate people and to provide them different ways of showing that appreciation. And building our strategic intent and having our guiding principles and, you know, presenting that to leadership who, you know, understood what this charter was, and we had support from them, helped us achieve our goals to, you know, the importance of demonstrating that appreciation, which just echoes and amplifies mindsets wherever it's applied.
This is fantastic. So I will, for the listeners, point out something, which is that the entire conversation we've had today, I jokingly talked about, you know, the engagement side often being viewed as squishy, right? It's something that's, you know, non-technical and, you know, it's a feel good thing. And a lot of, you know, tend to be, you know, very heads down checklist people. Just they sometimes rebuff the notion. Every point we've talked about today, both of you have brought it back around and talked about the strategy, the coordination, the project planning, charter writing, execution, executive buy-in. These projects and programs are no different in their scale and complexity and importance than any revenue generating program. Everything requires a strategic focus, a project plan, executive buy-in, and then execution. And what's really different about these, I suppose, is that for both of you, you know, we've recently had moments where, you know, people from the outside are looking in and learning about how your agency is doing this work. But for most, you know, most agencies in the US, they're doing this work internally. It's not really customer facing. And so you don't get that recognition that you get when you have, you know, a really good, you know, income tax season promo event, or you have a really good community event. Like, these are critical because this is kind of like the secret ingredient that helps the engine run so that all of the things that taxpayers see end up being more effective and better. And that customer service agent you get on the phone is going to be a little bit kinder with you. And they're going to be really happy to help you because they feel valued and recognized and seen. So it made me very happy for both of you to kind of inadvertently, you know, prove a point that I was actually going to ask a question about. And I'm not now because it's the point's proven. This is strategic. This is intentional. And I think the advice you both gave, if folks are listening and want to replicate that success, incredible advice. So I guess my last question for you, I can't believe we're already coming up on our time. You know, my last question for both of you is, what's something that you've got coming up? You know, don't have to share anything secret you haven't shared with your teams yet, but what's something you've got coming up that you're really excited about in the area of engagement?
So for South Carolina Department of Revenue, we have a couple of things coming up that I'm excited about. We are, as we speak, we're wrapping up our latest outreach collection. So we also have an outreach committee, and we collected toys for children for the Salvation Army this holiday. And so that's always a really popular event within our agency. And so getting to deliver those toys and really just serve the community where we work, that's always something that I look forward to and I'm always really excited about. And then we also have coming up our annual wellness week, which is always really popular. We have wellness walks. We have a wellness fair where we bring in a lot of vendors, anyone from massage therapists to financial advisors to life coaches, like anything you can think of that has to do with wellness, we bring them in. And so that's something that is always very popular, and we look forward to that every year. So those are two things I would say I'm excited about coming up.
Awesome. Thanks, Lauren.
So for Missouri, on the 20th, we are, you know, our event is Appreciate the Season, right? So we're holding a stocking decorating contest. And so the challenge is to create a stocking best representing the department or your team. So all participants are going to have their stockings, to be judged. And so we're going to have a leadership choice along with the people choice. We're going to open up the judging as well to all of the Department of Revenue teammates. And this event is, you know, was planned to as a wonderful showcase to demonstrate the creativity and the talent that we have here at the Missouri Department of Revenue. So far we have 37 unique entries that signed up, where we provided them a stocking. All stockings look exactly the same. So I definitely look forward to see the quality of submissions to judge on that. And last year we had a similar event, kind of, because December is our Appreciate the Season event, where they created an ornament. And so leadership faced such a tough decision in selecting the winners. So initially, you know, intended to award three winners, they had expanded to five because it was very difficult for them to select the top three winners. So we're excited to see what our teammates create for our Appreciate the Season event in December. To come, January, we always talk about a new year, new resolutions, you know, so we are going to host that event for January, and February being the Show Me State, right, our Show Mo Love event, right, reaching out to our, you know, our teams and checking in and showing them love, you know, on Valentine's Day. So these are the type of events that, you know, we reach out and engage with one another.
That's fantastic. We've got wellness fairs. We've got show mo love. I love that. That pun is fantastic. And all I can think of is that the Missouri Department is going to need one very long mantle for all of those stockings. So it's been a true pleasure to talk to both of you and hear about these programs. Like I said, this is such a near and dear thing for the FTA team. And, you know, what I love about both of the programs that your agencies offer is that it ties that really important, all the really important technical things that we have to do in government. We have to retain people. We have to, you know, make them happy. We have to make sure their job satisfaction is high. We have to connect them, you know, all of these wonderful downstream benefits. But they're also fun. It makes it a fun place to work and a good place to work. And, you know, not only does that help with recruitment, but at the end of the day, when someone's on their commute home or when they close their laptop, if they're a remote worker, they're smiling because they're like, you know what, I'm excited tomorrow to get back to work. And that's a really, it's a more nuanced thing to accomplish than a lot of people realize, especially in large organizations. So with that, thank you, Lauren, Marina. This has been a true pleasure. And I look forward to seeing you in person in the future and all of the wonderful accomplishments I know are on the horizon for both of your agencies. And I hope you both have a wonderful holiday season.
Thank you, Ryan.
Me too. This was such a pleasure. Thank you.
Being here.
Thanks.
Thank you.